Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from
and
sobriety.
Now, every day I'm moving further. It's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your host, David Von Strong. Here's David.
Hello! Charlottesville! It is Sunday! It is Veterans Day. Shout out to the troops. Thank you for all that you do. Please be safe. Come home safe. Just stand there with the gun. Just be bold. Don't be shooting so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, veterans. It's my dad's birthday. Thank you, Dad, for, you know, doing that thing, putting me here. Appreciate that. Good man. Yeah, it's Homegrown. 94.7 WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is your, it's your only, but it's your best show about art. My name is David Von Strawn, a.k.a. The Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Just a little guy, fairy feet, trying to get through the darkness. You know how it is.
Trying to get through the darkness.
Clinton Johnson, executive producer, HNIC of Homegrown. How you doing, Clinton?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I am well. I am well. Wearing my Obama shirt, celebrating his, you know, new run on the campaign trail.
Obama's got
new. He's got new material. He's killing it. got the House one again. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Not so much with the Senate. Still not amused. Still not shocked. This doesn't change anything. We still have a lot of work to do.
It is called the White House. You know, I'm just saying.
No, but it's like super white now. It's like
it's the super White House.
It's the Aryan White House. It is.
It's the white supremacist house.
It is alabaster.
They're all the white supremacist
house. As a mofo. So, yeah, I mean, I think that everybody thinks like, oh, after 2018, you know, we put in our vote. Now Democrats should be able to put that pressure on him. Nah, he's still going to do whatever the hell he wants to do. So stay on task. Stay local. Stay representing the needs that you feel that you need to in order to shape your community. So please, 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 please do not give up the fight. And with that, I will take it to Emily Julia Kresge.
Emily?
I said Emily.
Sounded like Emily.
Emily Julia Kresge. She is also an organizer and a singer-songwriter of the Artist and Community Relations Coordinator. Of what? Communities Relations.
Of the Front Porch Roots Music School.
Of course. Of the Front Porch Roots Music School, which is where Women on the Mic will be taking place on November 16th. Emily, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Women on the Mic, talk about it. Obviously something that you wanted to do. Talk about putting it together. We as Homegrown also know that artists listen to the show as well. So tell me, how did you do it? Organize this event from pre to post. Talk about it.
Well, I guess the idea for it started a few months ago. My friend Becca Porter, who lives in Harrisonburg, she's also a singer and a songwriter. And she plays, or she's a front woman in a band out there called Stone Rollin', and she hit me up one day.
Oh, she's the front woman for Stone Rollin'.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We know Stone Rollin'.
Really?
Yeah, every week in the middle of the show, we announce groups coming up, and we've announced Stone Rollin'.
Cool.
And you have to do that.
Yeah, we always do that.
So, yeah, she...
Tell us she's got her own tag on Home.
Yeah,
Brown.
She has. She wanted to chat music and... just, you know, pick my brain. And we got dinner one day and we were talking about how there's, you know, there's so many super awesome women that are doing this music thing around the Valley and around Central Virginia. And we really want to connect with them more. And me and her wanted to connect more and like be able to support each other. And there's not enough events, we thought, that highlight specifically women. So we decided to do this. And organize it together and come up with 3 to 5 women in both Harrisonburg and Charlottesville.
Well, you picked like the 3 to 5 women in Harrisonburg and Charlottesville. Yeah.
Devin Talking
Sproul,
about super awesome women.
Like Sally Rose, like Aaron Lunsford. Like, you pulled out the big guns.
We did.
This,
we did.
For this mofo.
And we're so thankful that they wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Their schedules are really busy. And
Have you ever worked with them before, or is this just like the a first time thing?
I haven't worked with Sally or Aaron, but Devin teaches at the Front Porch, so I've worked with her a bunch.
Devin's amazing. I went to high school with Devin.
Nice. Yeah, she's awesome.
Who's the
so, yeah, you know, when I saw the list of who you had on this event, because I know that. Because we've spoken to musicians before. One thing that musicians have talked about is, or that we've talked about a lot of things, but one thing we talked about is you get asked to do a lot of stuff. And especially with benefits, there's sometimes this tension, or at least my understanding is sometimes there's this tension between how many times you're asked to do something for free, and then at the same time, you also want to use your art to do something good. And so you have to sort of make your judgment call. Was there any hesitation?
There actually wasn't any at all. I don't want to speak for them, but I got the feeling that everyone was really excited to be a part of it because it's specifically about building up women, and the charity that we're supporting is to benefit women and, you know, confidence.
Yeah, talk about Fight Like a Girl.
Well, I wish Sally was here to talk more about it, but
she would be the perfect person.
Yeah, she would be. But it's an organization, a nonprofit organization that teaches women self-defense. So it's like a alternative way to teach women how to deal with the, you know, different things that we have to deal with every day, you know, like the threats and
empowerment.
Yeah, just
as well.
Say it, the threats that come mostly from men.
Threats
just
and harassment.
Yeah.
That come from the angry grizzly bear that is known as the male species. But like, let's be real here, because you mentioned that, like you said, there's not a lot of opportunity for women. Mm-hmm. And us as dumb male artists say, oh, but we talk about women artists all the time. But I noticed that in our announcements, there's a lot of male artists that have features that are every week at a certain place. I'm not going to name certain names, but we plug them a lot. And I've noticed that more of the women acts are doing benefits and like charities and stuff like that. So talk about that disparity in that y'all felt, because a lot of people on the outside say, oh no, women got a lot of shots here in Charlottesville. You know, this is a big, expansive, like, musical area. But talk about that disparity that you see, like, in the scene.
That's interesting. I never really thought about that, I guess. I think that the music scene and the music industry is just so much more populated with men, that it's just more, like, well-known, or, you know, people automatically think of men doing this or that, or playing instruments, and maybe women is more just like, oh, they sing background in a band, or they, you know, they're just a singer, so they, you know.
Yeah, when I say jazz bands, like, you know, to be, like, completely honest and to be completely,
you
like,
a bunch of guys.
Yeah, misogynistic. Like, I picture a whole bunch of, like, old guys, probably white guys with ponytails, playing that smooth.
Speaking about men, our man Jason Burke just said he's watching. He's like, Emily.
Oh, hey, Jason.
Shout out.
Oh, we actually have a question on Homegrown.
What?
Questioning about why there's a lack of people of color in the show of women. Can you speak to that? And if there was any, like, you know, thought as to why that might be?
Gotta
speak for the viewers.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, for sure. That just kind of, we reached out to a lot of local women to be a part of it, and these were just the people that were able to do it. And there actually was a little bit of an issue with the poster that we had, because it had
Billie Holiday.
And that was a mistake on our part. The person who made the poster, I think, didn't realize that we didn't have any women of color in the lineup, and she put that picture on it, so we ended up changing it. My friend Becca is of color, but she's not black, and I think that's what people were upset about, that we didn't have any specifically black women on the lineup.
Understood.
And, I think if we want to do it again. We were going to try it out this one time to see how it went, and then to do it again. And I think we would definitely have a different lineup.
And that's okay. And that's fair. You know, doing one thing for the first time and, like, you know, seeing what happens. And it's like, oh, damn, I wish I did it that way. But, you know, gotta speak for the viewers. But, yeah, that's cool overall.
Right, and especially something like this, one thing that happens is, as you just said, you pull in the people that you have. You pull in the people that you know. And so a combination of those two comes in.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
So speaking of women and songwriting, when did you first start playing guitar? Or when did you first start? Is guitar your first instrument?
It is, yeah. I think I took a little bit of piano lessons when I was 4 or 5, but I wasn't really into it. Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was 19, and now I'm 28, so about 9 years ago. I didn't really start songwriting, though, until maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So it's been progression.
What was it that made you start?
It kind of just like happened hand in hand with playing more. I used to write a lot in high school. I was really into like creative writing. I took some creative writing classes in high school and college, and thought originally wanted to be a writer and like write books. And then I realized it was really hard and it takes a long time. And I really loved guitar. Like I couldn't get away from it. I was, you know, it was becoming my favorite hobby, and I just, you know, played other people's songs, like artists that I like, and then it just kind of started to morph into me.
Influences?
Oh, gosh. Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel.
They got a new joint on Spotify. I'm like, how do Beatles keep releasing new stuff, even on digital streaming?
Funny.
But yeah, it's on Spotify. You should check it out.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I think it's like a whole new expansive like clip of the White Album with added sessions into it.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, you said Beatles. Go on.
Yeah. Tracy Chapman, Elvis, Bill Withers, Fleetwood Mac, Lake Street Dive, Charlie Crockett. Like, it goes on a lot of, like, it's cool because I think my influences range from, like, the 1920s up until today. Like,
nice.
Yeah.
What do you lend to that kind of, like, expansive, like, musical universe? Because some people have, like, just a certain, like, sect of things that they take their influences from, and that's how they create music. Like, why and how do you think your music is what it is because of those influences?
Why and how it is.
When all these influences come together and you create something and it comes out, what do you think that sound is representative of?
I would say it's a lot of like different genres through the ages. Like like storytelling too. I think I pull from a lot of not only genres but like.
Let me hit the same question from another way. When you're writing your stuff, because I've tried. I'll admit I play just a teeny bit of guitar, and I've tried a little bit of songwriting, and I'm always. Sometimes I'm concerned with I'm being derivative, right? I'm trying to make this sound too much like this, or I'm trying to make it be this type of song or that type of song. When you're writing, or do you have a particular sound or a particular approach in mind, or is it what comes out is what comes out?
I find that my best songs happen when I don't try to make them anything specific, because I've definitely done that before. I've sat down with the intention of, okay, I'm going to write a blues song, or I'm going to, then it always sounds a little forced. Yeah.
Contrived.
Contrived. Yeah, but when I just kind of...
I say soul is my nemesis? I try to write. I'm like, it's like, because I love classic like 60s, 50s soul. And I'm like, I'm going to try to write a soul song. And they sound so bad. So like just so forced and so lame and so like something that like the Backstreet Boys did when they had the flu on an off day when they were 15. It's like this, there's no soul in this at all.
No, like I don't remember what like storytelling thing it was, but some artists said like the best songs are written in like 10 minutes, and it's true. Like a lot of them are just, they just shoot out like those acoustic tracks that just like melt out of a guitar. Like they're,
well, and yet there's also like there's songwriters I know, like I love Paul Simon, and Paul Simon will take an idea and or like a phrase or a musical idea.
I was gonna say,
and
when
he'll
you talk
it.
About creating like music through genres and like anthems through genres, like
yeah.
you know, even being like
But he'll work something and he'll put it in, like, it's not there, and he'll put it in a drawer. And it'll stay there for years, and he'll just come back to it. And, like, because I've heard him talk about songs like, yeah, I first started working on the song years and years and years ago. And it's only years later that he's like, oh, this is what this needs.
Right on.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of my my best songs that I enjoy playing now, I started like 4 or 5 years ago. And I didn't think that they were going to morph into the genre that I'm doing now. But then when I find it again in my book and I pull it out, I'm like, oh, actually, this works really well. I just have to tweak a couple things. But the idea was laid out really quickly in 10 to 20 minutes.
Mm. Right on. Yeah. All right, so I guess we'll do a drop. I wanna talk more about like the community relations aspect in Front Porch and how they got incorporated into this, and we'll take it from there. Cool. All right, this is Homegrown. Drop.
Hi, this is Chloe Esther, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
16 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown, and you're. Or watching Homegrown, depending on 94.7 WPBC.
We don't judge.
However
you get to that.
Do what you do. You want to listen to it? Fine. You want to look at my lovely face? That's cool too. I'm just playing. I'm Devious. That's Clinton. Emily, Julia, Kresge is in the hizzy. She's a singer songwriter. She works for Front Porch Roots Music School. They are putting on an event, Women on the Mic, November 16th. Big heavy hitters of the Charlottesville community. Big acoustic women songwriters, Erin Lunsford, Devin Spruill, Sally Rose, Becca Porter, and the one and only EJK, as I call her now.
I
hope I get that privilege. Cool. So actually, before I get into more talking, I just want you to break out that lovely, lovely $1,000 guitar of yours, and can you play something for us? Something that we might see at the show?
Sure.
Cool. I appreciate that. So I'm just gonna sit back. We just gonna sit back and we gonna check this out.
All right.
Yeah, sound check. We're good.
Sound check. So I was thinking on the drive here what I should play, and I normally wouldn't do this, but I'm going to play the newest song I've written.
Uh-oh.
Oh, daring.
Explosive!
And it kind of falls into what we were just talking about, how, if you don't try to write a song in a certain way, sometimes it comes out exactly what you need it to be. So this is called Bound to Leave, and it's my newest song. Back to sleep. The walls are thin when the hours creep. All the right words hidden up his sleeve. You can't make him stay when he's bound to leave. In late July when the fire flies, dress the moon in an eerie light. Through the hills you can hear the cry of a sigh. It's a dark and lonesome world. Mama's friends watch as she falls apart. Can't pay the toll of a breaking heart. Through the hills you can hear the cry of sad and lonesome girl. She's in a dark and lonesome world. Tired lady, won't you go back to sleep? The walls are thin when the hours all the right words hidden up his sleeve. You can't make him stay when he's bound to leave. Months before at the corner store, a dizzy head made her hug the floor. Down on his knees and to her he swore, baby, I won't leave your side. But far too young and a little
shy. She bit her tongue with a feeble smile. Then she said, baby, I won't try. Just don't you leave my side. No matter how I try. Tired lady, won't you go back to sleep? The walls are thin when the hours creep. All the right words hidden up his sleeve. You can't make him stay when he's bound to leave. Even when the walls are gray, you can't make him stay.
Emily Julia Kresge.
Get your mic back.
New song. It ain't on no album. You ain't ever heard it until now on Homegirl. That was great.
Bound to Leave, right? Mm-hmm. Bound to Leave by Emily Julia Kresge.
Yeah, I can totally hear the Tracy Chapman nice. Influence, as Clinton was saying. I was also saying Liz Phair. Also, definitely Jewel's first album. Mm. That Pieces of You. Not anything after, because God, no. What happened to Jewel? Anyway, yeah, but oh, such great, yes, the aching desperation that needs to be an acoustic guitar and not privileged white guys singing songs about the one woman that didn't text them back.
Hey, back it up.
I have a song about that. I'd like to hear it, Joe. Nah. I just have an immediate question before I get to front. So, where did you find yourself in that situation where you created a song like that? Were you like literally sitting by a riverbed, or was it just like?
I was actually in my dad's kitchen. just
like you do.
That song's not even about my life. It's about a girl who gets pregnant and then like her boyfriend leaves her and she has to raise the kid alone, which I've not gone through.
Right.
Just, sometimes these ideas just, you know, come to us as songwriters, I guess. And we
right. Like a story.
And, yeah, you haven't exactly. gone
yeah.
through
and you got to get it out some way, somehow. Yeah. It's like, well, I'm not going to write a novel.
Right.
That's not
yeah,
cool.
Exactly.
I'll
write a 3-minute song instead. There you go.
I got a pretty voice.
Do you ever think of your songs as short stories?
Yeah, totally. I think that's the challenge and the exciting puzzle of writing a song is that you have to get all this information out in, you know, on average 3 minutes and have it make sense from start to finish. And if you choose to have it be like a cliffhanger where you don't really know what happens, that has to be worked into it so people are, you know, put there in the right way.
It's always interesting, or not always. Yeah, I spend a surprising amount of time these days thinking about what we do songs about. And because there's so much pop music that is about love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either like I'm in love with you. Mostly it seems like it's mostly I'm in love with you. Sometimes it's
I'm out of love with you.
You know, I'm out of love with you. A lot of it is why don't you love me no more?
Mm-hmm.
And a very little bit of it is I want to be in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the people on the outside who write about other stuff. And it's really interesting to me the people who find other things to write about and how they make that work in songs, right?
Yeah, that's very, very true. I think it's definitely easier to write a song about love or lack of love or heartbreak because it's so universal and it's almost like it pours out of you when you're like feeling heartbroken or something like that. It's definitely, and it seems a little like corny in some ways to write about anything else. Like it doesn't seem as like artistic in some ways.
Or you could be like Beck and write about absolutely nothing and just keep a career for like 20 plus. I was actually listening to like the newest Beck album and it's amazing. And I'm just like, how does he keep doing it? Anyway, Front Porch Roots Music School. Talk about your connection there and why you specifically wanted to put this show on right there, right here.
Cool. Yeah. So I've worked there for almost 2 years now. February will be 2 years, and I'm the artist and community relations coordinator, so I work a lot with the bands that we book, because it's a music school first and foremost, and then it's also we have a listening room, so it's also a concert venue. So I work a lot with the bands that we book, book the bands and get them all set up for their shows and make sure, you know, and I'm
in fact, it's become quite the concert venue.
Because
we talked to we had
Nathaniel Starr.
Yeah, oh, cool.
But we also, I mean, right when Front Porch was starting out, we had them on the show, and there's like, oh, we're going to teach music. And I didn't expect that. I mean, I hope that they would continue, but certainly didn't expect that part of that was also going to be all of these acts.
Yeah, I think that part has grown a lot. Even since I've worked there, we have shows every weekend now, if not 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. And when I started working there, it was, you know, maybe every other weekend.
I mean, it's such a sick location. Like, every time you walk mm-hmm. by there and you look directly into the spot so you can see if it's popping or not.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
you're like, oh, let me walk in here. Oh, $10? No problem. And then you just got, like, instant crowd. And then they come back for more. So it's a wonderful location. You're going to have to fight with the tango guy, though.
Oh, yeah.
He might steal some of your business on Thursdays. That guy is epic.
Was it cool you bringing this project to Front Porch?
Yeah, I guess I thought about a couple of different places to do it. I organized the events there anyway, so it easily fit in.
Mm-hmm. That's what I kind of thought. I was like, oh, I'll just write myself in.
Yeah, exactly. I'll book myself.
Dear me, do I have a place for this? I don't know.
Yes,
me. Let me look at the calendar.
But it seemed to be fitting because at the Front Porch, we were very welcoming and open to new ideas, and seemed like a great place to have an event that features women, especially with Devin teaching at the Front Porch, and I work there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we've hosted Sally and Aaron before at something, or they've been involved in some way. They've been to the Front Porch. Everyone, it's a very strong community place, so it seemed like the right place to put this on.
Is this your first event?
That I've performed at the Front Porch?
That you've organized.
Oh, no. Well, no, I book most of the bands there, or work with booking them.
But, so. I mean, is it the first thing that you've been associated with that you're like, yeah, I'm going to put me on, and I'm going to put all these other people, these friends of mine.
Okay. At the Front Porch, yeah.
All right.
I've done other events in other places in Virginia, but...
Dope.
You're also, and speaking of other places in Virginia, you're also doing a version of this in Harrisonburg, right?
Yeah, so this Charlottesville one at the Front Porch is this coming Friday, like you said, November 16th. The very next day, November 17th, is the Harrisonburg one. And Becca lives in Harrisonburg, so it made sense for us to do one Charlottesville, one Harrisonburg. And it's at Restless Moons Brewery.
It's a tour.
Yeah.
Two shows makes it a tour.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe three.
It's like two wins is a streak. Two shows is a tour. Back to back within the same week. Hitting the road!
That's good. Harrisonburg, it seems, there's a lot of cool stuff going on at Harrisonburg.
Stanton's picking up.
Mm-hmm.
This Stanton's
is true.
Picking up Fishersville.
And we consider this to be,
around.
I mean, we say this is a show about local art, and I consider local, I mean, like, mm-hmm. I want local to stretch all the way out to Stanton, and we've had artists coming from Stanton.
I hope they can pick us up.
And I've wondered, like, should we try to actually also... Keep an eye on Harrisonburg too, because it's is it close enough
that,
that we consider that local?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you crazy boy. Of course we should. I got nothing. I got nothing.
Emily, could you hit us up with what I know that you just said it, but one more time with the where and the when of Women on the Mic?
Yes, thank you so much. Women on the Mic is this coming Friday, November 16th at 8 p.m. at the Front Porch, which is downtown Charlottesville on 3rd and Water.
Cool. And if you miss it, next day.
Harrisonburg.
Yeah, I know. You got a little bit of a drive to do, so you can make it up there. Mm-hmm. Emily Julia Kresge, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You'll be back.
Yeah.
You'll be back.
I'll have to be back.
I was going
to
say, we'll just pencil you in.
please come back so I can remember to call you Emily Julia and not just Emily.
I kind of liked Emily.
Emily?
Yeah.
Emily.
It's like my grandma would call
me.
Come over here, Emily.
You should take the EJK.
Yeah. Roll with EJK. That's just dope.
All the way with EJK.
All right. I guess we just do some of these artistic events.
It's time.
Mr. Johnston. All right. Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running through December 8th, the American Shakespeare Fall Center runs with just summer, fall season. Just four plays. Emma Whipday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma. George Etheridge is the Man of Mode, or Sir Fopling Flutter.
Oh, Sir Fopling Flutter.
And Richard III. And as you like it.
By Shakespeare. Shakespeare.
Shakespeare! Last chance. The 2018 Virginia Film Festival. Check out.
Oh, that should be.
Oh, it's done. It's done. Actually.
That's a typo. That's a mistake.
It's a super it's gone. Last chance. Poof. It's gone. You missed it. These exhibits are still going, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Currently running. Check out these exhibits by local artists Tim Michaels' Ruminant and Laura Call's Gastinger's Drawing from Nature at Chroma Projects Art Laboratory. Keep It Like a Secret. Enhanced Photography by Chelsea Hoyt at Top Knot Studio. Anna Bryant, Language of the Land at New City Arts Welcome Gallery. Collected Works on Paper by Lisa Machi.
I think it's Maki.
I think it's Maki. Maki, like Noki.
I think it's Maki.
I apologize, Lisa. Yes. And Pottery by Carol Grant in Carol Grant. Fired Earth! You fired Earth! At the McGuffey Arts Center. November 14th. Come right in. Get it? It's a right with a W.
Isn't that what Trump said? Earth, you're fired.
we're not talking about You Shall Not Be Named on Homegrown. Come right in. An informal writing session to keep your National Novel Writing Month efforts going. That's NaNoWriMo for you extensive writers out there. Going on at the Gordon Avenue branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Woo-hoo. November 15th through 16th, the dance program of the University of Virginia presents their fall dance season at UVA Colbert Theater. Also on the 15th, these both are going on the 14th, UVA MFA reading series continues with students Amy Sue, Mary Claire Agnew, Robin Sarkin, reading their works at New Dominion Bookshop, and same day, November 15th, every second Thursday, Dreamabelle hosts the House of Bell takeover at Rapture. See, I know Dreamabelle. November 16th through the 17th, Chip Hall leads a glass-blowing ornaments workshop at the McGuffey Art Center. So if you want them hand-blown ornaments, you know where to go. That is so Charlottesville.
It's so wonderful.
It's so wonderful. But, yeah. And November 16th, also Third Friday's Improv Workshop at the Viral Dickinson Building at the PVCC. November 16th as well. The Comedy 7th Mammoth. 7 Mammoths. I hate you, Live Arts. 7 Mammoths Wonder New England at Live Arts Theater. That's going down already. Already?
See, you got to do your enunciation exercises
Mammoths.
Before the show.
Mammoths. I don't have Boomy here. Boomy usually walks me through my voice exercise.
7 Mammoths mumbling on
the... Shout out to Boomy Patterson. I love you. November 17th, UVA Fralin Art Museum docent and former guest June Heinz guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration of Fralin art pieces at her Looking Inward meditative tour. November 17th, catch Ty Cooper's short comedy, Filed Mingle. What? Short comedy file.
Oh, forget the file.
Short comedy.
Film. That's what that should
film.
Have been.
Mingle.
Oh, autocorrect.
That's his film. At the Paramount Theater. He's been on like 8 times talking about this film that he's coming out with. But that's it. You need to catch it. And for your music options this week.
Today, local jazz pianist Jim Ray at the Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Mark Lipson, Susan Munson, and Frank Bechter are Oh Wow Boy at Glasshouse Winery at 2 p.m.
Oh Wow Boy!
Police plays tonight's incarnation of the Telemetry Music Series at the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative, along with Daniel Fishkin from Queens, New York, and X from South Africa. November 13th, Michael Ellswick and Company at Fellini's. November 14th, Junior's Last Stand at Dirty Nelly's. November 15th, The Curries at the Whiskey Jar, J. Ergo Group at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, Gary Randall on the 16th at Wayland's Crossing, and David Tewksbury Trio at the Glass House Winery. What up, David?
All men.
UVA's only all-female philanthropic a cappella group, the Acoustics, present their fall concert at McLeod Hall Auditorium at UVA's Nursing School on November 16th. Cherry
Is that
Red.
The Tin Whistle Irish Pub?
November 16th, Cherry Red. at Dirty Nelly's. Also November 16th, Pale Blue Dot at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. From November 16th and November 17th, DJ Tova at Rapture.
DJ Tova!
On November 17th, get this, guest conductor Damon Gupton leads the Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra in the performance of Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, with also a preceding lecture by UVA music professor Richard Will in room 125 of Minor Hall.
So,
UVA.
So when you're jacked up from all that nutcracker, you can calm down with the talk.
The lecture goes before that. Before that. It's a preceding lecture.
So it hypes you up. He's exactly. Like the hype man for the nutcracker, and then boom, explosion, tights everywhere. It's going to be beautiful.
November 17th, Eli Cook at Hardywood Pilot Brewery and Tap Room.
Mm-hmm.
Also on the 17th, the Gladstones at the Batesville Market, South Canal Street at Pro Renata Farm Brewery.
What?
Mojo Mama at Dirty Nelly's.
Mojo Mama!
And One Hand Clapping at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Sunday, it's Travis Elliott at Rapture.
You can kind of hear that.
Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Then Seafoot, Sorrowful Friends of the Old Time Music Weekly Open Jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Tango Music with Miles Pierce and Matty Metcalf at the Bebedero. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. The ATM Unit at Rapture. And the Songwriter Night at the Local.
Where is Umberto?
Every Tuesday.
Right, here we go.
Every Tuesday is the Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Umberto Sales at the Bebedero. The Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. The Traditional Irish Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, it's the Open Mic Night at Prairie Renata Farm Brewery.
Boom!
The Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo. Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9.
Shoryuken!
Bachata Fusion at the Ixar Park.
Shoryuken!
The 502 Fossils at the Shabin Pub and Bry.
Ultra Combo!
And the Mike Brzezinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Nuclear Bomb! Whatever that sounds like, you can't hear it because you're dead.
Every Thursday, Umberto Salas and Vincent Zorn are dueling maestros at the Bebedero. And every Thursday,
John Durth!
With the John Durth Quintet at Miller's, because every once in a while, you just
gotta come down to come down. Durth.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
Let's drop it.
Oh, let's just drop it. We're going to get smart in a few minutes. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hi, I'm Chandler Farabee from Vinegar Hill Theater at Lighthouse Studio, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
38 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC. I'm David. That's Clinton. Stay tuned after the show for more great local programming like the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Woo! It's going to be dope. Every show on 94.7 is dope. You will always know that because we bring you the greatest local stuff around the area. So stay tuned. It's going to be awesome. But with us now is, I would have to say the great. Because you have a book, so I just feel like you should just be. The great Adam Nemeth. Author, co-founder of MIMA, which stands for?
It used to stand for Modern Improvisational Music Appreciation. But that's a mouthful, and we've been to about 40 countries now where that doesn't translate so well, so it just became MIMA. It's its own word.
Yep.
We made up a word.
Yep. That's right. It's not the Modern Arts and Museum in Manhattan, or whatever.
No.
It's not that.
Nope.
It's something completely different. But he's got a new book out. We Can Save Us All. The launch party is going down at New Dominion Bookshop on November 15th. Adam Nemeth, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This is my second time here.
And yes, it is.
It's always a party, a Sunday morning party.
So the first time you came here, you came in as a representative of MIMA. Now this is just you. You're putting out your first fiction novel. Can you talk about that? What was it like doing your first fiction novel?
Well, it's been about 12 years that I've been working on this thing.
Which I
would love to be able to say that, like, I put it aside for 7 of those years in a drawer and then came back to it. But that's
Paul
not
Simon.
That's not true. That is not true. I was pretty consistently working on it the whole time. I've got a day job and I've got this MIMA nonprofit that I put a lot of time into, but this was a labor of love for a good 12 years, and it's exciting to finally drag the thing across the finish line in an exciting way.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask, how do you keep the f- the fire going for 12 years. Cause the little bit of writing I do, I don't write anything is like, I've written plays. So, and that's just like, it's like 2 hours. Yeah. You know, you've got to write something that works for 2 hours. But to write something, and still, you don't spend a lot of time. But
and like, even so, to consistently work on something for 12 years, I can't do anything
was, like,
for
was there
12
a point
months.
Where, was there ever a point where you're like, oh, this is just like, no, it's just this, this idea was good 7 years ago, but now
bail,
it's just dead.
Pull
like,
the parachute,
how do you keep yourself going?
Done.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think I probably had that feeling like every third day. I think that's the artist dilemma there is you come off of, you know, a writing session one day and you're like, I'm the best writer who has ever lived. And then the next morning you feel like everything is garbage and your life is garbage. And then you get up and do it again. I don't know what else to say. So I think, you know, the
arts, ladies and gentlemen,
the artist's journey. Yeah.
It's real special.
Shall we say the artist maelstrom?
And I think, you know, everything I've done is, I'm fairly loyal. I've been working on Mima for 18 years. I've been working on this book for 12 years. I've had my day job at History Factory for almost 10 years now. And I've been with my wife for 15 years. So when I find something that makes me happy, I kind of stick with it. but I, you know, this book changed a lot over the course of 12 years. I think 12 years ago, it felt like a work of speculative fiction, kind of set in the near future where things are going haywire. And as we got closer and closer to where we are right now, it just feels like realism.
You know, it's funny.
Now it's a documentary.
Now it feels like a documentary.
It's funny because I looked at the beginning of it and it sounded like a quote from Obama and I thought it was a political novel. And I was like, yeah, we can be the change that we need to be in this world. And then I read like the liner notes and I was like, this is not about like me at all.
It's not a political novel.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not.
But it has political tones. Yeah. And it has like. Yeah. Definitely, sections and issues that are prevalent to like the here and now, like sexual like exploration and like you know, not non-binary.
Well, let's step back. Give you a short summary of the novel.
Sure. Yeah.
Your what is it? The back of the desk jacket. I think it's called a dust jacket.
But
I'm going to call it a desk jacket.
Yeah, I like it. We Can Save Us All is a work of literary fiction. It's about a group of Ivy League students who respond to escalating climate change and a bunch of other crazy things going on in the world by forming what becomes an end times cult inspired by superheroes and fueled by psychedelic drugs and performance enhancers.
So it's like,
done.
So it's like Biodome meets Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
I've never connected it to the amazing Biodome.
Biodome is classic.
Oh, like, I'm a huge fan of Biodome.
Pauly Shore, Stephen Baldwin. Get Biodome.
Yeah.
I think it's like on YouTube for like 49 cents if you have the time. It's Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like 80 minutes. Like,
it's a romp.
Yeah. Take a couple of bong rips. You'll have a ball.
Yeah.
You really will.
Sure.
We were somewhere thinking about Buckminster Fillock and geodesics when the drugs began to take hold.
Well, so they do move into a geodesic dome. That is where they live. It's called the Egg. That's where this group of students lives. And they essentially go through this set of self-improvement tactics and a process of figuring out each one's inner superhero, I would call it. Not a, in a magical alien kind of way. There's no actual superpowers, really. It's, you know, how, or is there?
Oh,
it's a little bit more, you know, what is the piece of you that you would like to elevate and make manifest in a situation where civilization is breaking down around you? How do you kind of step up into your own power in that way? And let's throw some costumes and drugs at it as well. And if we're all doing this together, we can start a movement and save us all.
So now I have to find what are the influences of this book, because we just asked Emily what her influences are. So like, yeah, this is so out there. I mean, it's like, it's contained and the premise is like actually like tangible, but it's so out there. Like, talk about where that idea kind of manifested from.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, Biodome.
Of course.
Of course. You have to start
a Biodome. Cinematic experience of the 90s.
I mean, over the course of 12 years, there was a lot of things that influenced it. I think from a standpoint of other novels, books like White Noise by Don DeLillo and The Secret History by Donna Tartt were two books that influenced it a lot.
Which critics have actually given comparison to.
Yes, I feel really excited about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been getting amazing like reviews on it, by the way.
Thank
so
you.
People
yeah.
out there, like, it's dope because other people say it's dope. but go on, continue.
You know, I read a lot about climate change. There was a book called A Paradise Built in Hell by Rebecca Solnit that I think is phenomenal, and it talks a lot about how these communities, and it's a nonfiction book, and communities from the 1906 San Francisco earthquake up until, you know, Hurricane Katrina, you see on the news, you know, you only think that there are these, that it's this Mad Max hellscape, when
right.
in reality, people are really taking great care of each other. These great improvisational organic communities crop up to figure out how to provide mutual aid. And it was kind of a heartening book in some ways. So that one, and read a lot about, you know, 60s communes, collectives, cults, other kind of counterculture groups. I think those were some big influences.
Yeah, you talked to, I heard about the Weathermen. Yeah, references to them. But there's so much that we have to talk about. I hope you have an excerpt in there that maybe you can, kick a couple of lyrics.
Sure.
Spit a cipher.
Sure, I'll do it.
Of that Nemec flavor for us.
A quick 16.
But no, we're going to go to commercial first. Hold on.
You hip-hop
fool. It's too much. It's too much Nemec right now. We got to take a break. We got to chill for a second. We got to pay some bills, but we'll be right back with you. This is Homegrown. Drop!
This is local author Adriana Anders, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art, on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
49 minutes past the hour. Man, you have missed one heck of a show. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown. I'm David. Clinton's on the boards.
What?
Adam Nemec is in the house. Nemec.
All right.
Yes. I messed up. I mispronounced the guest name for the 80th time. I apologize.
It's okay. You can call me Emila.
See how I keep the themes rolling here? Yeah, nobody.
I was thinking just a moment ago, that kind of makes it sound like we're her BB. It's like, Emila, you're such wonderful with your songs. So beautiful with your songs. We
Adam
try to make people feel at home.
Author of We Can Save Us All, dropping that new Dominion on November 15th. He's going to be signing books. He's going to be throwing a party. It's going to be amazeballs. I see you got the magic machine right here,
sure.
Also known as the MacBook Air, you know, where all that good stuff came from. Mm-hmm. You got an excerpt of We Can Save Us All?
Sure. I'm just going to read about 35 pages real quick.
Okay, that's okay. Cool.
No, I got like three paragraphs.
That's cool. So you've been listening to Homegrown. He's going to lead us out.
I'll jump in here. Actually,
okay.
This is just the first few pages.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really need a whole lot of setup. The first chapter is called I Am Another Yourself. Even Hitler was on meth. Google it. Every morning, Hitler's personal physician, Dr. Theo Morell, entered his bedroom to administer charisma intravenously, a cocktail injection of methamphetamines and morphine, plus cocaine eye drops. Adolf never asked what was in the needle, and Theo never offered the secret. He simply upped the dosage until Hitler succumbed to something like Parkinson's, something like addiction, and drowned in his own sea. For the record, David Fuffman never assumed Matthias Blue was real. Real meaning unenhanced, unadulterated. Only that Matthias's was an evolved consciousness. Though David would likely fail to comprehend the extent of Matthias's genius, he'd be among the tawdry heroes who faked greatness, who sat at the feet of Matthias's being and came to class. David only and infinitely believed in him, and now the power is going off and the light is leaving them, maybe forever. The tide is coming in. They claim it'll be the biggest flood since Noah. David envisions a giant blue wave, an emblematic tsunami ripped from a Japanese woodcut, its many crests crashing and bouncing back like a cavalry charge, galloping hooves beneath gaunt horsemen. Something quick. But here on campus, David thinks it looks more like a bathtub slowly filling. He can see the swell on the horizon. The sky is not falling. The ground is just rising up to meet it.
Cocaine eye drops?
Cocaine eye drops.
Jesus!
Yeah, that's historically
that's
accurate.
That's some new stuff right there.
Yep. Yep.
Was it to enter charisma intravenous? Love it.
That's what you call it.
Love it.
Charisma.
Yeah. It puts some of those insane newsreel videos of him screaming.
Oh yeah, pontificating in those like sweat filled.
When you realize he was on that much meth.
Yeah, soliloquies. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, you can see he was a little bit off.
Like, you know? Yeah, that's putting it mildly. But yeah.
This guy's a little much.
Yeah.
He's a little bit extra.
That Adolf, he's a little
I don't
much.
Know. Like Howard Dean got stricken down from going yeehaw. Yeah, like yeah. That's all he had to do,
yep,
and he was out of the race. Like Hitler's screaming like a maniac. That's why I'm wondering about our Hitler. You know, mm-hmm. how'd he get to where he is? Mm-hmm. But that's
I think Howard Dean is sitting around saying, "I got enthusiastic about something
one time,
and that
yeah.
was it."
I know. No. And I was trying to show it. Humanity.
That's
damn it.
Yeah.
This
that's
is what you
killed.
Get. This is how you repay me.
He's sitting around with Gary Hart and Dukakis.
Nah, Gary Hart did that.
Dukakis is like one
helmet.
One shot of me
just
in
get
the tank.
Out of the tank, dude.
Mm-hmm. And Dean's like,
you look so weird. You look so weird.
Anyways, go. You got.
I was just gonna say, like, you know, you said you. You do a lot of things for umpteen years, and then you stick with it consistently. Mm-hmm. Like you're doing your day job. You're with your wife. You're doing your nonprofit, and mm-hmm. then you decide to write this like arduous novel and mm-hmm. keep at it consistently. Talk about the workload that you have to like that you had to exude, and like how this is like this big well of relief that's kind of like.
And also when?
Yeah, I don't sleep a lot.
Obviously.
That's part of it. And I chip away at things.
Too much charisma.
A lot of charisma. A lot of caffeine. I chip away at things little by little. Maybe that's why it took 12 years. I envy the people who are like, it took me 3 months and I just like cranked it out, and then mm-hmm. it took me a week to get an agent, and then it was published the next day. That was not my experience. It was applaud. It was just, a yard at a time. There's a great quote. I think it might be Virginia Woolf. I could be wrong, but someone asked, how her writing's going. And she's like, well, I got the character from the kitchen to the backyard today. It was a really great day. And that's really it. It's, 5 hours here to get a character from like one room to another. And then you keep doing that. And with all of these things, I don't think there's like a magic bullet. I think it's just putting in the time. And a lot of that time was trying to find an agent, trying to, I would get feedback from agents that this is great. I just want you to completely revamp the structure of it chronologically or non-chronologically. Yeah. And so I would spend about 8 months.
Change everything.
Yeah. Can you just quickly change everything? And so I would do that because I was sure, why not? And I'd spend 8 months changing the chronology. And then I'd give it back, and they were like, "That's great. That's exactly what I was hoping you would do. I'm leaving the publishing industry entirely, but I'm going to hand you off to my colleague who's interested." And they would be like, "It's great. I just want you to change the chronology back to completely linear." So it was a lot of just that sort of thing. And I could have thrown in the towel or should have, but I believed in this book, and I felt like I had something I wanted to say. And I think just as a personal point of pride, felt like I needed to drag it across the finish line.
Yeah.
All other things aside, I hope I have two kids, and I hope that they take that from it, that you can just sort of get your mm-hmm. butt kicked for a number of years and kind of keep cranking. If
when those royalty checks come in, they'll be thanking you soon enough.
Yeah.
I think if there's one lesson that we should be teaching our kids, our parents, everything, everyone around us these days, is resilience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I'll plug this. I just had a piece published in Salon yesterday called Was My Grandfather Batman? And it's about my grandfather who may have been Batman. You think I'm kidding? And he was an orphan. He graduated alongside both of the two co-creators of Batman at this, from the same school.
What?
His mother was murdered.
Cane and Finger?
And Cane and Finger. He graduated in 1933 from DeWitt Clinton High School in the Bronx, and he may have been Batman for all we know, but the piece is really a lot about resilience and about the way he went through life despite a lot of things not going great for him, a lot of family being taken from him, and I think we complain a lot right now about how bad it is, and it is bad, and it's worse for some people than for others, but when I look back 20, 30, 50 years ago, I don't think we're unique in having a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
So let's just...
It's just our turn.
It's just our turn.
It's our turn for our fascist dictator.
Yeah, our turn for our fascist dictator, and I'm not trying
roll
to...
Roll the dice. Boom.
And just like... And I think so appropriate for our culture today, which is so based on convenience, which is so based on immediacy, I think that it makes sense that we don't have to go abroad for fascism. It's just right here.
It's right here.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got, we got to wrap it up. Scott, so great talking to you.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right.
Really
Sunday morning
it.
Wake up call is next. I appreciate you. I appreciate Emily Kresge for being on the show as well. Emily Julia Kresge. Gotta get it right. We'll send Emily Kresge on here because I was just talking about, geez, Clinton. I know I mess up a lot. I'm sorry. I love you, though.
I love you too, David.
I love you all. We'll see you next week. This has been Homegrown. Take it easy.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
I said thank you. I said thank you like 8 times.
This has been Homegrown. Our only show dedicated to local art. We'd like to thank our guests, Emily Julia Kresge and Adam Nemet. We'd like to apologize for everyone whose name we mispronounce. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. Right now, we're listening to No Place to Be by Emily Julia Kresge. Any complaints about Homegrown should be dedicated or directed to our attorneys at the fine lisping law firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munthen, and Burke. Legal services that wrap around you like a thong. Remember to keep your dial on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. To be up the mountaintop wearing all flip-flops, I was yearning for a friend to talk, 'cause I got no place to be. You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.